G.I. Joe Sigma 6, code name for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6,
be a hero.
G.I. Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Getting excited. We're full of energy and enchiladas and hatred. I'll let you guess which one is which of us. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
It's probably Aren't you who you think. Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, it's hard to guess.
It's a fair point. Who are you people?
Because, like, I hated this episode, yes, but I also kind of enjoyed parts of it. I'm also full of enchiladas and very little energy, but I feel it's coming back. So, I mean, I think I got all the bases covered here. Y'all can go home. I got this one. I'll take this entire episode.
Good.
Don't say that too loud. Gina will bounce.
Yeah, I know.
It's true.
This is a delicate balancing act that I'm doing here.
It's a delicate weave we run.
Interested enough.
Well, anyway, since you two won't tell us who you are,
I go after Chan.
Who? Oh, Robert Clark Chan.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
The trouble I've seen. No.
Gina, he said his name now.
My sorrow.
And you just said my name.
I guess we're done.
Good night.
With life.
Listen, we got a little bit of a slump. As we record this, it's not the day before. It's right before Halloween. We did a bunch of Halloween episodes that are fantastic. A lot of weird ones this year. Pretty exciting stuff. And we're back to doing G.I. Joe Sigma 6 this week and next week to finish out Sigma 6. We will be done with this tunnel rat forever. How do you guys feel?
We better be done with him. If he shows back up in some later version of G.I. Joe, I'm going to be pissed.
I don't know if he does or not.
I mean, we're only done with him until we restart all of G.I. Joe.
It's a great point.
Oh, so after I'm dead. That sounds great. Enjoy that.
I don't think we have that much G.I. Joe left. So unless you're planning on dying in the next 2 years...
We had this conversation
we have so much
about
left.
A year ago, and we're like, oh my God, we're like halfway through. There's still like four more series to go. This will never end.
So you're planning on dying within the next 9 years.
Oh,
I guess that's about right. I guess that sounds about right.
Something's going to take me. Maybe it's a disease. Maybe it's a giant owl. Maybe the earth is just going to open up and swallow me whole.
Let's be real. Your son is gonna murder you in your sleep. I was about to say going to Menendez brothers you, but that implies that there was some shady dealings going on. So I opted not to.
I was literally about to correct you and say Menendez me, but
In that scenario, you would be a diddler.
Well, I just looked ahead to the next G.I. Joe series, which I believe the next one chronologically is the very short G.I. Joe Resolute. I could be wrong about that, but G.I. Joe Renegades is the next series. That's another 2-season, 24, 26 episodes, whatever it is. But looking at this, Tunnel Rat will be a factor in this, but I can already tell by looking at who's playing him, it won't be this Tunnel Rat. Some very interesting casting in this, though.
Is it Brian Cox?
No.
<Ba-da-ba-ba-ba>.
We have been talking about Renegades for a long time because every time we talk about it, I make the same joke of Lorenzo Lamas' Renegades, which isn't really a joke. It's just the name of a show that used to air. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like I've been bringing that up for 100 years.
I'm saying. It's not over yet. It's nowhere close to over. By the time we get done, they'll have more.
I mean, that's also true. We have the reboot cartoon series, which is supposed to come up in the next year or so, theoretically.
Jesus.
But this is interesting. So our main characters, apparently, are Duke, Tunnel Rat, Roadblock, and Scarlet. They are each in 25 episodes. We're going to get the Baroness Cobra Commander, played by Charlie Adler. I'm excited about that, not going to lie. We've got Dr. Mindbender coming back in, along with Flint for half the episodes, Lady J for half the episodes. Kari Payton from, you know, the tiger guy from Walking Dead is here. Clancy Brown is here.
Okay, Clancy Lee Brown. Majors.
Lee Majors is here.
Lee Majors?
As General Hawk, it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
General
Hawk. Also in Scrooged. I'm not going to lie. You didn't say too many names that I like there in terms of characters. Wow. I like all the actors. Oh. I like all the actors, but not. But this episode that we're watching tonight, it is titled Ice. And I just put, if there is no snow job in this episode, I am coming to your houses. Gina, and killing
why
you
would you think there would be snow job? There has not been snow job in this entire series up to this point. They're going to introduce snow job in episode 25.
If I don't, first of all, it's not the craziest thing that's happened on this show. Second of all, if I don't hold out hope, I will come to both of your houses and kill you. So it's either the murder is delayed or the murder happens now.
Gina, don't spoil the big finale of this show. this is episode 25.
Giant Kickstarter G.I. Joe comics we got.
Oh, man, I want to read those for sure. Well, this is called Ice. Ice is the name of this episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6, episode 25, the 12th episode of season 2. And it's been so long since we've watched Sigma 6, I'll be honest with you. I hope someone's watching this like chronologically. They won't even listen to this episode. They won't understand that like 5 months has gone by since the last time we did an episode of G.I. Joe.
Also, I think it's possible that the last episode was part one and this is part two.
No.
That actually tracks because they did it. They ended, right, because the official show went off the air from syndication in episode, 17? There were like 5 episodes to go. And then the next episode that they made after it went off the air before the season finished was a recap episode. So I think maybe this is episode maybe 3 of 4.
Somewhere I looked, it's said 2 of 3. Next episode definitely is like a continuation, but also they're barely connected. It's like we did this one thing. Now we're going to do a completely different thing, but they took a hostage. They have snake eyes and like the members of the UN or like 6 of them, I guess.
Well, that's what happens in this episode
in the world, in the G.I. Joe world.
Yeah. That's what happens here. Let's not spoil the whole thing right out the gate.
Really? We're going to worry about spoilers for this.
If you haven't seen this episode,
some people watch along with us. They listen to 1 minute of our podcast.
If you've had 20 years to watch this episode of Sigma 6 and you have not watched it yet, I understand. But maybe you're saving it. Maybe you want to listen to our show first. Watch along with us.
They're saving it for marriage. They're saving it for marriage.
This episode of G.I. Joe for marriage. I wouldn't blame you. Anyway, Ice is attacking the planet. Cobra has themselves that weather machine. It's not a weather dominator. Yeah. It's
again, I hate that they just sort of tap on things that I remember. Like I was like, wait, weather dominator? And then it was not the weather dominator. It's those stupid red herring crystals or whatever the crap that we've been watching for 2 seasons is.
I believe they're called MacGuffins.
Yeah, they're called MacGuffin crystals. Also, that's right.
It's, you know, it is, you know, it's 15, how many years later? You're like 15, almost 20 years later. We can't call it the weather dominator anymore. Time has moved on. We should call it the weather pegger and just leave it at that.
Wow. I would rather have a weather pegger than a fake crystal. What are these things? Hippie crystals?
Yeah. I'm not going to bother looking it up, Gina.
These are Sigma 6 crystals. They aren't really
a
thing.
That's not even a catchy name. Sigma 6 crystals?
No, they're not called Sigma 6 crystals. That's what fucking business management people would call them. They're Sigma stones.
Did you like the fact, Gina, that Chan said he wouldn't look it up? And so I intentionally said the wrong thing, thus yep. forcing Chan to look it up. Y'all notice what happened right there, right?
To be fair, I wrote it in my notes because I knew I'd forget it because I had already forgotten it.
Underwhelming it is for, as a yep. name. We've yep. been watching 80 yep. episodes, 8 million and 2 episodes, however many billions of episodes of this show. Yes. All and true. They have brought them up in every show, and not mm-hmm. a single one of us can remember what they're caring. Supposed to be called. That's nope. how unoriginal it is. It's like yep. meeting a white guy named Steve.
I've Sorry, white guys those. Named Steve out there. We do love you.
Hold on. Let's make sure that none of our patrons are white guys named Steve before we start casting aspersions.
I'm just saying I'll probably forget their name.
No, you won't, because you could just call all white guys Steve.
Oh, okay. And well, then every white guy listener that we have is now called Steve.
Officially, I just checked the list. None of our patrons on Patreon are named Steve.
Well, we should get
one. I knew that eventually you would actually go look it up. And this pleases me.
There is one called Robert Clark Chan, though.
Really?
Oh, my God. The call is coming from inside the house.
You were a $1 subscriber, Robert.
That's Clark. Where right. all your money is going every month, Chan.
Once you take fees out, I basically make a dollar a month off the show and I put it right back on the show because that's how business works.
That's how business works. You got to do it for tax purposes. Got to put it back.
I do it so that I can see the posts.
Right.
Because to upgrade to like the higher level of Patreon where you can have like teams working on stuff is more expensive than just spending a dollar for joining.
It's all true.
Which is why I'm also a dollar patron on Who Would Win.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, in fact. Anyway, so Cobra's using ice to attack the planet. Sure. The UN is announcing an emergency coverage. I got questions about this in a sec. First off, the Golden Gate Bridge with the Roman Colosseum. They cut to the Golden Gate Bridge, which is being hit with freak weather. And then it cuts to, like, in the middle of all this freak weather, we still got people, like, rolling across it. As it breaks down, like that horrific site in Baltimore.
I honestly, like, I started to write, okay, what idiots are out in this weather? And then I remembered that every idiot is out in the weather that we have now. This is real. No matter how many times you tell people not to go outside in weather, there's always some person that dies in their car because they got stuck in snow.
As a native San Franciscan, I can say that weather went shit. It gets way worse than that on a semi-regular basis. So absolutely.
So we just found out that Chan's the idiot who dies in his car in this
I gotta
weather.
Get to work, man. I gotta feed my family and get free snacks. The free snacks is really the driver there. The family feeding is a secondary concern.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote here, why are they driving in this weather? I'll shame them. I don't care.
Man,
I'm telling you.
You work in tech.
I'm telling you, people do this every year. Every year in New Jersey or Chicago, anywhere that it snows, basically, everyone is like, I'll be fine. Or we all know people who go up to Big Bear without, like, in the wintertime without putting chains on their tires because they're like, that sounds hard.
Oh, that's terrible. It is hard, and you should do it anyway.
Yeah, or that's don't go to Big Bear climb that mountain.
Stay home. Just stay home.
No, it's true. I mean, I'm always like, I'll stay home, but then I realize whenever the inclement weather hits really bad, my family finds a reason for me to have to go out into it to do something or other.
It's and because now they're trying to kill you.
That's it. They're trying to kill me, and now suddenly the truth comes out.
Have you seen The Shining? I feel like if they're trying to get you to go outside,
they said, can you go through this hay maze in the snow?
Yep.
And I turned and said, it looks hay mazing.
That's why they want to kill you.
Honestly, I'm feeling a little bit like maybe you should go check the garbage cans behind the corn maze.
Chan is out there dressed as a giant raccoon and he tapes knives to his fingers so that when the cops show up, someone will be like, it was a giant razor nailed raccoon that attacked Ray. And everyone will be like, that sounds right. And then no one will investigate.
Feels right to me.
So you're like, yeah, Freddy Krueger's a furry. he's wearing a tanuki suit.
Also,
he murdered Ray.
Quite frankly, Chana, at this point, if this is not your Halloween costume in a few days, I will be disappointed.
I mean,
it's a real deep cut. It's
pretty great.
Because y'all are coming over to the house, we could get a picture of you by my dumpsters.
I mean, all 10 listeners of this podcast would appreciate it.
It's going on the Patreon. If I can get this picture, it's going on the Patreon. Look, the suspension breaks on the Golden Gate Bridge, putting a car in the ocean. But no, Scarlet with a magnet, I guess, and a helicopter saves the car. And they say, we have to steady this bridge, which I saw what happened in Baltimore. The thing collapsed in like 5 seconds. The second one of them broke, right? Here, though, apparently Lieutenant Stone can just take his helicopter and go under the bridge and hold it up.
Listen, we build them tough in San Francisco.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. His engines are starting to go. So Duke is in a submarine. He shoots two cables around the bridge, tightens the cables, and the bridge is good to go.
I don't know if you heard.
That checks out.
But in San Francisco, we demand consent before being weather dominated.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, the Golden Gate Bridge had a safe word.
Yep. And it was Sigma Stones.
Well, who could blame it?
Oh, no. Which we always said, forget so. It.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
So we've learned here that the G.I. Joes need this team at the South Pole to come through if we have any chance to get this happening. So here we go. We're at the South Pole with the Ninja Team. The Ninja Team consisting of Snake Eyes and Kamakura, who are just there. And it makes sense to send Snake Eyes on this team if it's important, yeah?
Sure.
But also we've got the team of Jinx and Tunnel Rat. And Tunnel Rat, I give him a lot of crap on this show. Mm-hmm. And then he has an episode like this one that confirms I'm correct in everything I'm saying.
Yes, indeed.
He is a liability.
He's never not been a liability. I don't like white men who get to keep their jobs even though they're terrible at them.
Whoa, I feel personally attacked.
And if the and you should, know that if,
always
if ton, yeah, you know that if Tunnel Rat was a woman, that version of Tunnel Rat would have been fired in about 2 days, and then people would have been like, "Ugh, she was terrible at her job. She was also always emotional." But instead, this motherfucker's eating bugs, blowing their cover, contributes nothing except like one tiny thing to every mission, like one tiny thing, which anyone else could be trained on. By the way, anyone else could be the new tech person. But and he's a liability up until that point. So if he gets them all killed, his tech skills really, who cares at that point that he has tech skills? But he gets to keep his job. I bet he's got a golden parachute so they can never fire him. He's got a hell of a pension. I hate him.
All of this is true. Also, I don't think he's an explosives expert. Why does he understand like hacking and stuff? It doesn't necessarily track to me. It's not that Joes can't do multiple things. I'm just surprised Tunnel Rat can do anything.
I did not listen to either of you because I was imagining a gender swapped Tunnel Rat.
I bet it exists. Tunnel Rat
who fucked things up, who ate bugs, who just had a weirdly chummy relationship with Scarlet, I imagine. Or Jinx? Who would it be? Who is the heavy duty? Who is the female version of heavy duty?
They're really, the thing is, every female member of the Joe team is deeply competent, much more so than many of the male teammates around him. Because you got Scarlet, competent, except here, where she's a buffoon. But they're all buffoons, so who cares? Lady J, super, super competent, right?
Yeah.
You've got Jinx, Ninja Master can fight blind. You've got Cover Girl, who we give a lot of poop to. She's not very fun to be around.
Yeah, but she's good at her job.
She's a lady boss, without question.
Yeah, even on the bad side, the women are more competent than the men.
100%.
I'm trying to think. There's got to be like one or two more, but that's basically it.
Has there got to be? You just named more girls in every 80s cartoon put together. Oh,
and you know what? We had Mayday in the G.I. Joe Extreme, and she, despite breaking her leg every single episode, was deeply competent.
I feel like Zarana is the only one who is prone to error, being as that she's a dreadnought, and she's, that's just
I would argue still kind of the best of the dreadnoughts.
Oh yeah, yeah, but she's easily in the ballpark. She's someone who, you know, you could look at and go like, oh yeah, she's going to be doing some disgusting stuff. She's going to make some boneheaded errors because she's just like she wanted to get super high one day, and then Cobra Commander called and was like, hey, I've got a job for you. I'm like, oh, fuck. No, cool, man. Let's go rob the Louvre or whatever. Oh,
and even then, you go to the movie Pythona in Cobra, you know, along with obviously the Baroness, who's the most competent of anybody. Mm-hmm. Pythona is she breaks into a Cobra base by herself and takes everybody out, gets to the final chamber. So she's very competent as well. They're all deeply competent. Which is why this version of Scarlet just doing and saying weird things all the time is just bizarre. Tunnel Rats. Ugh, Tunnel Rat. Anyway, let's get over to the UN. And inexplicably to me, in a world where the G.I. Joe team has been operating for 24 episodes leading up to this one, the UN convenes a meeting that says, we have to find out who's behind this. Do you?
Look.
Do you though?
It's entirely possible that it was global warming. At the time, they were like, you know what? Maybe those lefty kooks were right, and it's come for us, and now we've got to pay the piper. We all watched that one movie where there's storms. I don't remember. There was a
geostorm.
Is that what
storm
that was?
Storm of the century. Twister.
You're thinking of that Weather Dominator series in G.I. Joe.
There was a Revenge couple of movies because there was a brief moment where we're all like, oh gosh, maybe climate change is a thing. Let's make some movies about it so we don't have to think about it anymore. And they happened and they were terrible.
Yeah, and The Day After Tomorrow wasn't very good.
That sounds like it might have been one of them.
An Inconvenient Truth?
No, we're not talking about that.
Well, that one. Anyway, but, yeah.
So yeah, could sure. be that.
I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that nobody from G.I. Joe is just not on any of these people's radar. I don't know. This blows my mind.
It's fine. Let's get rid of all the more likely ideas before we jump to ruthless terrorist organization. Like, you know, maybe before we start bombing countries, we should check to see.
Chan, wait a minute. You lived through the aughts. You know that the first go-to is ruthless terrorist organization.
I mean, that's what I think when my dishes are dirty. I blame them for everything.
Yep.
How's that worked out, like, cleanliness-wise?
I've broken so many dishes in a rage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why you got to get fancy plastic dishes.
Maybe don't drone strike the kitchen. When the dishes are dirty?
Well, then my next kitchen won't learn its lesson.
Fair point.
Yeah, to be fair, when
strong in the face of dish.
When Gina has those dirty dishes, she has to bomb a completely unrelated kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To really get the mood right.
That checks out.
You're both on notice, by the way. Your kitchens are readily available.
Better keep mine more dirty than I already do. The Baroness shows up in the room with the United Nations, and she says, I am bringing with me a new world order. And I fully expected the Wolfpack music or the Hulk Hogan theme to start up. And all of a sudden, you know, Hogan and Nash and Scott Hall roll in with Eric Bischoff and the Giant. But that's not what happened in this episode. It would have been too sweet.
I don't fucks with late 90s WCW, so I was just going to let you hang on that one.
It's my favorite. Not gonna lie. I am
irritated that there's let me count, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 people at this table. One of them is a woman who is wearing essentially a bathing suit at the United Nations Inner Sanctum, I don't know, Security Council of some sort. Everybody else there is a dude in a full 3-piece suit, and nobody notices.
Wait, what?
They're just sitting there talking about, you know,
our first order of business is to find out what is causing the extreme weather conditions. Huh? Who are you?
Oh, you mean the Baroness is there. Okay.
So nobody noticed this chick until she starts sarcastically clapping.
No, that's true. Nobody noticed her at all. Nobody was interested. You know what? Because Baroness looks like a world leader. Maybe I don't know what country she's from, but I know she's in charge of something.
She's got the illusion, metal gloves on.
She's got weird metal gloves with like highlighter fingertips. It's really weird. They're like claws, but they're like purple, green, red. I don't get it. Destro and Zartan show up just when you were afraid, like we weren't going to. And Cobra Commander appears on screen, to which I ask the question, what is going on with security in this building? Security is so bad, Zartan got in.
To be fair, they did ask in a series of clunky, exposition-laden queries.
What kind of nonsense is this? How dare you mock this council?
What is
your purpose here?
Uh-huh.
How did you get past our security?
Okay, well,
explain yourself.
That is a lot of... That's a lot.
It's a lot of outrage. It's a lot of outrage, quite honestly.
And he didn't even stop to let her answer the question. What kind of nonsense is this? Is a ruthless terrorist takeover? How dare you mock this council? Well, council is... weak and powerless. Sure. What is your purpose here? To take over the earth, get 90% of all of the earth's resources, I guess.
Yep.
How did you get past our security? Probably knocked them all out, I imagine.
Probably frozen.
Maybe, I guess.
Frozen?
Could have been frozen. I feel like that would have taken a lot of energy and a bit a lot easier just to, because you want to show off the fancy guns to the big boys. You don't want to just like freeze every goddamn security guard in the building.
I would
do your tech demo.
Listen,
first.
Kevin McAllister would if he was doing this on a Home Alone basis.
That's a fair point.
It would the juice on the gun would run out just before you got to Joe Pesci.
That's true. But I remember when
Batman 1966 in their movie did it first when they turned them all the UN leaders into dust of different colors.
This whole episode is one big Mr. Freeze episode of Batman. Starts with a gun that freezes people, specifically security guards. That is exactly what happens in Batman. There are a lot of freezing puns later on. The only difference is that Cobra Commander laughs at every single one of his jokes, whereas Mr. Freeze says them deadpan.
Also, it's a goddamn weather dominator. That means you could dominate with any kind of weather you want. You could make things super hot. You could make it super rainy. You could have twisters. And you could have a twister, or you could have twisters. You could have a day after tomorrow. You could have a volcano. Is volcano a climate thing?
Yep,
sometimes. Heat would be much worse. Heat would be much worse because... Once you're frozen, you're fine. You're probably sleeping in there in your little frozen cocoon.
I don't think that's how freezing works. But
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you can do it. It's my brother and I are planning to do it to travel to the future.
Ooh, okay. Are you going to get jobs as pizza delivery people first?
Yeah. But yeah, heat would be much worse because then you're just like, oh God, it's hot. I guess
you don't even feel like fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and then even if you're okay after that, your body can never regulate properly again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That track, something's happened to me. It's been hot here in Los Angeles. Not
menopause?
Today.
Is it menopause? You're about that age.
It's menopause.
It's menopause. Yeah, Chan nailed it. Anyway, Cobra troops break into the room, freeze Ray all of the leaders, and Cobra takes over every single screen in the entire world. Again, with this technology that Cobra has, they could have, you know, gotten the biggest ad buy in history. If you could imagine, Bud Light pays them $1 billion to be on every screen of the world for 30 seconds.
I mean, that would be a great money generating opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, like, they could have all 90% of the money just by charging for ads.
I feel like the cruelty is part of the point.
I don't know. If I had to watch Bud Light ads for the rest of time, that would be cruel.
It is a shame. There are so many more interesting ways they could have gone about this.
Yeah. Well, it's called Cobra TV. Duke calls it the Snake Channel. And Cobra Commander comes out with, quite honestly, a message I appreciate. He says, okay, this is a fascist takeover of the world. You will now pay us 90% of your income going forward. And but here's the deal. You can suffer together. So ignore your cultural differences in the world and unite under one people, opposing us, obviously, but we still get all your income. But now you must work together against a common threat. This is some plan. This feels like what Elon Musk just said he wants to do to our economy if they win the election.
I mean, counterpoint, maybe he's trying to do what Sweden does. Like, maybe he's like, give me so much of your money, but you're going to live a long time because I'm going to give you great, great health care to death. And you're going to report better satisfaction in life than any other nation on earth. Maybe that's Cobra Commander's plan.
Here's the thing about that. I am a big fan of it in general. Although I feel like the unspoken portion of that whole Nordic socialism good time is that everyone there is white.
Yes.
And as soon as you start introducing other colors of people, all of a sudden people start getting real stingy with the money. So this... again, feels a little too close to actual reality.
A little too close to the sun?
A little bit.
Fair.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
Nobody beats G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe X-Wing!
It changes from a jet to an attack copter.
X-Wing! X-Wing! Cobra's gonna feel your sting!
Joining the attack is the G.I. Joe Mean Dog.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe! The G.I. Joe Mean Dog! Mean Dog's got a bad bite! Looking for Cobra and itching to fight! But nobody beats G.I. Joe! A real American hero!
X-Wing comes with pilot, Mean Dog with driver.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
Okay. So High Tech has found a pattern and notices that Cobra has cloaked transmitters at both poles. How did he just find this out? Why is Snake Eyes and his crew already at the South Pole before this? I'm a little confused.
This is a classic Tarantino technique where we flash back. You're not really sure where you are time-wise. Just to make it a little more interesting.
It's all jumbled. All right, well... Mm-hmm. There's a second team going to the North Pole to visit Santa, and it's not Captain America, The Rock, and a giant polar bear, unfortunately. It is Heavy Duty, Spirit, and Lieutenant Stone. Yeah, they're a team as well. Going for the Sigma Stones. The Sigma Energy Core, based off of Sigma Stones, they got to destroy them both.
Mm-hmm. Be a hero.
Be a hero.
It's the second to last time we'll ever hear that song.
Oh, man. Wow. Fingers crossed. I'm kind of sad. A little bit sad. Tunnel Rat reminds the ninja team that he was an official ninja. Y'all remember that plot point?
In training.
Because I do. In training. Yep. I remember when he fumbled his way through their quote-unquote ninja exam.
Also, again, absolutely a mediocre white dude thing to bring up his non-accomplishment any chance he gets.
Yeah. I'm an honorary Jew.
Oh, my God.
I am sad to report that Donald Trump is not the first vaguely racist white guy I have heard in my life say that.
Yeah, that tracks. You've done comedy for a long time.
Oh, I wish it were in comedy.
Oh, no. I need to learn more about this this nonprofit you worked for. Oh, my goodness. The ninja team is scouting ahead while Tunnel Rat does his weird I'm too cold to operate deal. The ninja team gets some signals. They start chasing them. They start looking through their high-tech binoculars out in the distance. Tunnel Rat, first off, will not shut his mouth. They're on a covert mission, and he is just shouting, "Hey, guys, what you saying? What you finding? I'm cold." And I'm just like, dear Lord, knife him. Leave him there. Just one clean right through the neck. Leave him in the snow, never to be found again. Please let this be how Sigma Six ends.
he just slowly bleeds out. I mean, it would be great if in this episode that actually happened. And then the whole series ended with like a barb at the end of Stranger Things season one moment, yeah, where like everyone has since forgotten about him. And then it just flashes over to his frozen body in the snow.
Oh, so happy. So happy.
And he's
right
like,
now.
He's bleeding out, but his blood is frozen. And then maybe his eye twitches a little, like he's still not dead.
Honestly, that would make me so happy. I don't think we're going there. I'll officially put on the record, but I would like to. So immediately in all of this nonsense here,
he gets into a fight with Kamakura over the binoculars.
Yeah, he tries to grab them out of his hands. It almost breaks them. Kamakura's like, "Seriously, dude, what are you doing right now? I just want to see." I hate him. I hate him so much.
Yeah.
Like, then bring your own goddamn binoculars, Tunnel Rat, you piece of shit. And then immediately Snake Eyes is over this bullshit. So he takes off doing a Naruto run. Weirdly enough, Snake Eyes doesn't say anything upon leaving.
That's his jam, man.
I love him for it. Okay. We're cutting over to Team 2, who is going to the North Pole. I must have missed something because they're at the Drucker Dam, but they're supposed to be going to the North Pole, but they're at this dam that is breaking, and suddenly, like, half this episode is about them working around this dam that's about to break instead of going and doing the very important world-shattering thing they need to do.
No, I believe what's happening is that the ninja team are the ones who are taking on finding the MacGuffins, and the rest of the Joes are doing like rescue work and saving people, which is like the only real use a military should be.
You have two teams. One needs to be at the North Pole, the other at the South Pole. And your plan is to have one team hit both poles while the other team just farts around.
But they're not farting around. They're trying to stop a dam from crashing and killing everybody beneath them.
This is low stakes as far as I'm concerned with the world at stake.
I disagree.
I don't think you know how delegating of tasks works, Ray. And honestly, that tracks.
Well, listen, the Drucker Dam is going to break. And if the Drucker Dam breaks, it's going to spill an ocean of water onto a small town at the basin, okay? G.I. Joe's plan is to blow open the canyon walls to divert the water, which if what you're saying in part one is true, it won't divert enough water to make a difference. Then they need to blast open a new channel to divert the water through, which I'm already finding this whole plan sus. They drop bombs and then laser those bombs to do their drilling work, which honestly was rad. Jumping ahead briefly, they run out of bombs, so they have to use their lasers only, which is so much slower, but they're not quite done with it yet. I asked the question, why are we here? I don't know.
Cutting back, to save millions of lives.
Millions of lives.
Seemed like a pretty big city to me.
I mean,
you big city folks coming around here with your dams and your weather dominators.
Peggers. Well, first off, the Drucker Dam is not a real place. It is not a real thing, near as I can tell. So you're saving fictional people.
What?
Let's go back to the South Pole. There's a new Terradrome at the South Pole where the ninjas are. Tunnel Rat is hacking, and he has the flat-out audacity while he is doing this hack on this like control panel to get me like, can you guys keep it down and be professional so I can work here? Fuck you, Tunnel Rat.
I cannot
say this any stronger than that. The person who spends 90% of the mission farting around to then turn around and demand total professionalism when it's his time to do anything, when he is literally yanking binoculars out of his teammates' hands and breaking them, is outrageous.
I think you hate him so much because you see yourself in this character more than any other.
God.
Seems, oh, no. Yeah.
How dare you as well, both of you. I do appreciate he gets the hack done, and Snake Eyes is like, yo, Jinx, can you get these two chuckle Fs out of here so I can do some real work?
Yeah, and that also tracks. Although, like, it makes sense to me why they made Kamakura dumber than usual and Tunnel Rat more annoying than usual so that we could, like, get a little one-on-one with Snake Eyes and Firefly.
And we want that, yeah.
But also, like, yeah, making the girl babysit the two dum-dums is...
Yeah,
I
hated it. I hated it. And as soon as she like grabs them and drags them, I was like, man, no, girl, no one would blame you if you just severed their Achilles tendons and then quietly left them for dead and then said you have no idea where they went.
Legit.
Also, it follows from your statement that the reason why you don't like this so much is because you've been saddled with two idiots who...
Oh, no, I missed that subtext entirely.
You would.
Yeah, and I did. Yeah. Oh, no. You guys, Gina's being clever. All right, fine. So they also mentioned the fact that they did scanning and that there are no bats anywhere in this compound at all, which they can apparently scan for. So Snake Eyes tells Jinx
to go
find all the bats and eliminate them. And immediately in my head, I'm like, you already said there were no bats. What are we talking about? And so I love the fact that we follow them further. And Jinx says, wait a minute. He said to take out all the bats, but we already established earlier there are no bats. And I just wrote, you know what? Maybe all three of them are hideously stupid and all deserve each other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And just when I think this show can't get any smarter, we cut back to the people at the dam who are trying to carve their way through the rock, and they get right to the end where they can't quite finish it. They're out of bombs. They have to do their lasers. The dam is about to break. So Duke shows up, and I go, okay. And I even wrote here, oh, cool. Duke brought more bombs so they can finish the job. That actually makes some sense that they've established a thing. They ran out of the thing. Duke is a good leader, so he would bring more bombs to finish the job in the moment of crisis, thus saving the day. Then they go in a completely different direction with it. And Duke crashes his aircraft into the rocks to finish the job.
Part of the reason why I am on board with all of this section of it is because it all hangs together for me. Like, yeah, we gotta use the bombs. We gotta use the lasers. Run out of the bombs, using the lasers. Ran out of lasers. We got nothing. What's left? Duke comes flying in and straight up kamikazes that shit. That is like that is well structured.
Why not bomb it? You've already established that works.
Because we've used all of the bombs. Did we not establish that?
He wasn't there.
It makes sense.
Oh my God. That is something. I'm so mad at you.
Cartoon making sense.
That's where you draw the sanity line and go to the other side of it.
So rarely. I enjoyed it for the children's show that it is.
It was absolutely outrageous. And I'm mad at you for liking it. But what are you going to do? Moving forward, we cut over to, and this took me a sec, Snake Eyes goes to the final chamber, because that's where he was going, where he runs into what I first thought was a Skelly Trooper.
Yeah, what the
Halloween
fuck, man?
Favorite, Skeleton Cobra Trooper.
Have we seen this outfit before?
Yes, we have.
It took me a while to remember who this dude was. Also, yeah. Have I mentioned that every line delivery he gives is 100% Job from Arrested Development? Go back and listen to him. And everything he does is he's like, and now, magic. I've made
a
terrible...
If it isn't the Silent Ninja Man, Snake Eyes.
I'm telling you, my impression was pretty spot on.
That's pretty good. Now let's see you outrun fire.
That is Joe Bluth.
It's an illusion, Michael.
It is Firefly, the traitor from previous seasons or previous episodes. You remember? And honestly, it wasn't until he started talking that I was like, "Oh, it's Firefly." Okay, cool. He's got that, and I know I said it last time, but he's wearing a Jason Voorhees mask in his new outfit, so you can't see his face, but it's like a metallic. Like a welding mask, but shaped like a hockey mask, like Casey Jones from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I'm not going to lie, it's badass. I love it.
It's okay. It's okay.
Firefly might be my favorite character in this show. I'll say it.
Isn't he your favorite character overall, period?
He's one of my top five easily, maybe top three characters of all time. Yeah. And maybe that's why. Maybe it's just lingering.
Maybe.
My top five, it's so funny. You asked me my top five characters back in the day when I was a kid. Very different list than the top five characters now.
Yeah.
Lowlight is surging up the lists. And that's because he will murder you with PTSD. Oh, I love me some Lowlight. Oh, let's go back and watch the original series.
See, this is what I'm saying. They like none of those characters that you mentioned were really exciting because we've seen them for all iterations. If they went back to like, if they were like, yeah, we got Scarlet, we got Duke, it's like fine. And they were like, well, and there's Shipwreck and Snowjob and Lowlight, like people would be like, oh shit.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean I hope this new G.I. Joe series explores that. You know what would help with that? Getting TV's Gina Ippolito in the goddamn writer's room. How are they fumbling the bag this hard over there?
Well, either they are, or my reps are, or I am, or the world is. Somewhere along the way, someone's fumbling.
I'm going to say, if there was any opportunity in front of you, or a pathway, or an avenue, you would have done it 19 times over. I will take you off the blame table, Gina.
I know feel better. Like this is a sitcom waiting to happen, because I haven't heard anything about the writer's room or anything. But I'm just going to assume that it is 100% dudes. Gina is going to need to dress up as a dude, as per the rules of Bosom Buddies, and pretend, or what's just one of the guys, the one where she's like a football player or something like that.
Yeah.
That's in the locker room, and infiltrate and prove that women can be just as cool as the guys, and teach them all a lesson, and get WGA scale for
sounds good. Can I, Gina, can I ask you a question? And I don't know, maybe you've done it, but have you written a comedy pilot set in a 1980s cartoon writer's room?
In a 1980s cartoon writer's room?
Basically, yes. Like a Transformers, G.I. Joe, whatever vibe. And it's from the perspective of the one woman in the room.
I mean, that's sort of similar to the vibe of Reboot. Of what Reboot was, because
Reboot was similar to that. Yeah, you're right. I'm just thinking like the specific world of an insane. You would make it up, obviously, for the show, but an insane like 80s cartoon just trying to sell toys, and just being in that world. I don't know. I would watch the shit out of that show. I don't know, but you haven't written that before. I was having this conversation about, I don't think it was with y'all, but about Abbott Elementary, about how many comedy people do we know that are teachers, and none of them did the comedy sitcom set in an elementary school, right? And it was like right there for them, you know? Like, why didn't somebody write Abbott Elementary before Abbott Elementary?
My guess is a lot of people did.
I mean, maybe. Did you read, I mean, I don't know, did you read a lot of scripts that were exactly like that or what?
I can't read.
No, I can't either. I'm asking Gina that question, obviously.
I knew it.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. I just like, it just occurred to me like, well, that's fertile ground that I haven't seen before. Although Reboot, you're right, kind of goes halvesies in on it. That was such a good show. That cast was incredible. Did they get, they got a second season?
They did not.
Oh, they did not. They should have gotten a second season. God, it was so good. Oh, well. Anyway.
Didn't you reboot Head of the Class?
Oh, I hope not, but probably.
I just have a vague memory of that happening. Just thinking about sitcoms in schools. Never mind. I'm just going to be over here.
I used to watch the crap out of Head of the Class back in the day.
Who didn't?
Yeah. Great show.
Fine show.
Unfortunately, I think that the character of Arvid set back nerd culture about 10 years. We could have got there sooner if that dude didn't exist.
I think maybe the kitty diddler is the more concerning fella in that particular production.
Wait, what?
Have you not followed anything about Nickelodeon television for the past
you're talking about
30 years?
This wasn't Nickelodeon, though. This was like ABC.
Yeah. Do you know who was on that show?
No, wait. Was he Dennis?
Yes.
Seriously? I didn't know that.
It's like how he got his start. Are you serious?
No effing way. Is that right? I learned something today, y'all.
You learned something you should have known for 20 years.
I'll be honest. I did not realize that. That's so funny. Okay. I mean, funny in a terrible way. No bleeping way. Huh. I used to watch the crap out of that show. Did not put two and two together right there. Bad job me. Bad job me. I'll say it.
Here you go.
But hey, you all at home learned something too. Or did you already know it?
They all
let me know on Threads. Okay, let's plod to the end of this thing. The fight happens between Snake Eyes and Firefly. And Snake Eyes could defeat Firefly, but it seems like Firefly's kind of good at fighting. So it's going to take him a hot minute. Snake Eyes is never one to not understand the mission. So he jumps around and evades a couple Firefly fire attacks and just starts blowing out the giant fusion core because that's what he's there to do. I also asked the question, if this is all we had to do here, why couldn't the other three bozos come with him on this?
Well, I mean, we got to set up them stakes, baby. We got one more episode to link to.
Yeah, fair enough. I would say this is a tactical mistake by Snake Eyes, not bringing the cannon fodder with him. and the core is about to blow up. Firefly is about to escape because some sort of giant transport vehicle crashes through the side of the base. Like, that is the size of the base, near as I can tell. And then Tunnel Rat charges at Firefly before he can enter this transport device. Snake Eyes, you know, because Tunnel Rat's an idiot. Snake Eyes shoves Tunnel Rat out of the way and gets hit with the frozen ray from earlier. Snake Eyes gets frozen solid. I blinked. I don't know what happened, but suddenly Firefly had Snake Eyes teleported into the transport vehicle.
Took him hostage.
Despite the fact that, like, everyone else was standing right there and apparently just let it happen.
They're all terrible.
Snake Eyes is heavy, y'all. Snake Eyes frozen in water, heavier. Firefly apparently leaned into it and took an hour to carry Snake Eyes in while the idiot ninjas stared at him. I'm very angry.
As well you should be.
Yeah.
Tunnel Rat's the worst.
He's the worst.
There's truly, like, this is a real, unless they kill him, there's at the end, there's no way to redeem him. Unless they pull a Dobby on his ass, there's no way to redeem him.
Make him a slave?
Referring to Firefly or Tunnel Rat?
Tunnel Rat.
Okay, thank you. Good.
Were we talking about Firefly?
No, there was a moment where I was like, you know, Firefly kidnapping Snake Eyes. He's turned traitor. If there, because remember, Lieutenant Stone was talking about a redemption angle earlier in the season. So my brain started going there first, and then I realized, oh no, Gina's obviously talking about Tunnel Rat, you dum-dum. And yes, that's how I talk to myself. Shut up.
I mean, that's how I would talk to myself if I were you.
Thank you. It's the first time in life I think I could say I did something the same way Gina would. yeah, I don't know how he got him on the vehicle. But anyway, apparently this vehicle also flies. I cannot wrap my head around what this vehicle is. It's like the one from that Choose Your Own Adventure book. I don't understand it. It's gigantic.
It can be anything it wants to be.
And then flies away.
It can be anything it wants to be.
I'm so mad.
Yeah, it's a giant cobra-shaped penis thing.
Penis thing, yep, I like it. And so Firefly flies off with Snake Eyes as his prisoner. Cut over to Cobra Commander, who's like, all right, they blew up one of my bases, but I hold the upper hand literally in every other way. I'm good. Episode over. Fast episode. This episode was only like, what, 19 minutes long?
Heavens.
18 minutes and 56 seconds long. That's short for a G.I. Joe Sigma 6.
They must have had some long commercials.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, I wouldn't just say that. I would say it's also not on the air anymore. So they were just finishing it up for posterity's sake. End it early. Who gives a shit?
That's all the money we have.
When they invent YouTube, this is going on YouTube. Oh, my God. That head of the class thing really is throwing me for a loop. Not going to lie. That's so wild. Anyway, that is episode 25, as Chan said, the penultimate episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6 called Ice.
Ice, baby.
That was my first note. I didn't say it.
I've said it multiple times this episode.
Oh, did I?
I did.
Oh. Guys, I've been hitting the head a lot.
You said that.
Many times.
I thought that was the first time I've ever said that on the show.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's bad news for me.
It's not great.
Anyway, you can find us at facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You want to join the group or patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. I believe if you do listen and you want to join, there is a free membership. You can join for free and get some of the posts on there and keep up with it and become a free member. Or if you want to support the show for like $1, $5, whatever, if you want to get more deeply in love than that, go for it too. I'm not going to stop you. We do try to put the cash to good use.
Join at the Robert Clark Chan level.
Join for $1. You'll get in.
And then forget about it like Chan clearly did.
Also that, yes.
I mean, he's not wrong, you know. And that's what's going on right there. We have lots of cool stuff going on otherwise. Chan has his wrestling podcast. Gina has her 72 projects she can't talk about. And I think you should play more video games.
We can do all these things, guys.
If we come together as a team, like G.I. Joe Sigma 6.
Be a hero. I'm excited. Be a hero. Sigma 6. Be a hero. Be a hero.
This is how Chan like has a stroke, and this is just the only thing he can say for the rest of his life. He has locked-in syndrome, but instead of not being able to talk, he just talks in G.I. Joe theme songs.
Yeah, this I always figured my life would end up like a Twilight Zone episode. seems to check out.
The nurses are all trying to figure out what you're saying to see if it could somehow make you better. And then finally, there's a nurse that was born in 1978 and saw every episode of G.I. Joe and is like, I know what he's saying. It's be a hero. And then just a single tear is squeezed out of your locked in eye.
So then they start playing all of the episodes back to back for me in hopes that it will free me. But instead, what it does is it just puts me into a never ending torturous hell.
Yeah. To be fair, though, once you got about halfway through Deke era G.I. Joe, I believe your brain would shut down. Spontaneous brain death.
Sweet, sweet death.
Wherever Cobra strikes, wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight. There's no turning back.
Yo, Joe!
Be a hero!
G.I. Joe will turn the tide!
Be a hero!
Sigma 6 is on your side!
Be a hero!
Be the best of the best!
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Sigma 6!
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.